As I enter rest, I depend on you. Oh, yes, I depend on you. Jason's going to come in a minute and pray for us. Though there may be some of you today that just say, God, I depend on you, and it's tough. Teach me to abide. And so I want to invite you. Our altars are always open, and maybe you just want to come and pray. Maybe you say, I can't kneel. My knees are too bad. You can come and stand at the altar. But maybe you just want to come as an acknowledgement that, God, I depend on you. So you're welcome to come as we sing. I depend on you. I depend on you. Jesus, I depend on you. For my every breath, I depend on you. You're the great provider. I depend. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, you're all that we need.
You can be seated or take a posture of prayer, however you'd like. I'm part of a lot of different groups that talk about a lot of different things, and we all come to the same conclusion. What's the key to all of this? What's the magic formula? And it's just abiding in Jesus. That's why that song is great. You can come up if you want, Jared. Just abiding in Jesus. So let's pray together, and let's just be with Him. Father, we love you. We are lost without you. There's no hope without you, Father. So as times are tough and when times are good, mold our hearts in such a way as that they're always seeking you. And that you are everything we've needed yesterday, today, and forever. That we don't forget that. So be in us. Guide us. Help us to really wake up and realize that being in you is the only way that's the worthwhile way. that any path outside of your ways is just leading to a life of being lost. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for redemption. And we thank you for your grace that you just never seemed, you just never stopped forgiving. You never stopped drawing us in. I will admit that the correction is tough sometimes, Lord. But not once have I ever said, wow, I wish you didn't do that. I wish you didn't bring me through this trial. You've always been faithful. You've always been loving. You've always been gracious. And continue that work in our hearts so that we grow close to you and that the world might be won through your love. We praise you in all things. Amen.
Good morning. Look at your faces. You braved the cold. Well done. I'm still not sure that that was the best decision for me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad to be here. You guys are warming my soul, so it's good. It's good. Hear these words from Psalm 62. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. My fortress, I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. I am so encouraged this morning because I have been with people this week who have spoken peace and hope into my life. They didn't know it, but they were just existing. They were existing and they were saying the things that they would just normally say, and by their very presence, they encouraged me. And I heard someone say this week, no one is ever far from God. Nobody. And I thought, wait a second, we talk about people being far from God so often. And this person said, no one is ever far from God because God is always pursuing. God is always with us. God is always there. And so this morning, as we extend peace to each other, I want you to think about all of those things all together. That God is our refuge, to put our trust in him, and how these people in my life were just existing around me, and somehow they encouraged me and in my walk with the Lord and in my faith. And then, wait a second, people are never really far from God. That maybe as we experience the peace of God in our lives, as we put our trust in him, as we make him our refuge, that just our very existence with someone encourages them. And we become the people who bring peace to them so that they know that God is near. Isn't that just wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that we get to partner with God in that way? And so I ask you to stand because we're going to practice now with each other, existing and being among each other, and encouraging each other by just extending the peace of Christ. And so around here, if you haven't been with us before, all that is just saying the peace of the Lord be with you. And it's a beautiful thing. You can talk about other things too, but oh, the intentionality of extending peace to each other is so beautiful. And so my friends, may the peace of Christ be with you this morning. Thank you. Please extend that peace to each other. And if you are a kiddo, Joy is right back there. Well, we could do this all day. I do have some announcements for us and more opportunities for you guys to connect with each other as you join in on some of these things. These things are important because they are part of the life of the church. They're the things that help us build connections with each other and build relationships. It takes so much courage to come into this place every week, and especially if you're new, especially if you haven't been here in a long time, it takes something to be able to walk through these doors. And so I'm so glad that you all are here. We want to know that you're here. And so we have some Connect cards out in the lobby. So before you leave, if you have not filled one of those out in a while or never, or if you just want to say hi to us via paper, you can do that with the Connect cards out in the lobby. You can also fill out one of these fancy forms by using the QR code here. I encourage you to do that so we can know how we can pray for you. But we also want to get you on the email list. We want to be able to text you if we're like, hey, so-and-so is on my mind. And if we don't know your number, we can't do that. So we'd love to be able to connect with you in that way. So please do that. If you are interested in membership for our local church, we're going to have a class pretty soon. And so I want to get some feedback from those of you who want to be a part of that so we can determine the best time to do that. I travel during the week quite a bit, but I'm here for a little bit. So I'd love to get that underway pretty soon. So if that's something that you are interested in, please come see me or put it on a Connect card or like send me a text or whatever so I know that you want to be a part of that. It's a really cool thing because you get to have more of a say into some of the things that we do around here. And it just says, this is my place. This is my place. And you can learn more about who we are and the direction that we're going, which is why we call it the Compass Class. Also, if you have never been baptized, or if maybe you were baptized as a kid and you want to affirm that baptism, we want to do that soon. We won't do it in the ocean soon. We'll do it here. We do have a baptismal back here. We don't have to do it in the ocean. And so we would love to do that soon. And we've had a couple of people say that they are interested in that. And so we just want to get everybody on board who is ready to make that public confession of faith. And then finally, something that I'm really super duper excited about. So I have the privilege to hang with our teens on Wednesday nights. And we've got a small group of girls that have been coming on Wednesday nights really faithfully. We're going to continue that. We're going to continue that on Wednesday nights. But we have noticed that the schools have a lot of activities on Wednesday nights. And a lot of these students work during the week. And so when I put out feelers to some of our students who used to come or have said that they want to come, they just can't come on Wednesday nights, they're like, Sunday nights would work. I don't work on Sunday nights. Y'all, we're starting tonight. We are starting tonight, and I'm so excited about it. We're having cereal tonight. Cereal? I mean, come on. Who doesn't get excited about cereal? We're having cereal tonight, but it really, you're probably wondering, some of you. You're like, well, that's a little past my age bracket. Not in heart. Not in heart. So what does that mean for you? Do I have bananas and half and half? I'm sure we could scrounge some up. So what does it mean for you? We are one of the closest churches to Spruce Creek High School. Our students from this high school walk by our church every single day. I don't know about you, but that is a huge responsibility for us. Giant. And so what that means for you is prayer in a big way. In a big way. I'm saying, like, get in your cars intentionally throughout the week and drive by Spruce Creek High School and pray for those kids. Will you? Will you? Pray for us as we try to do this. I'm taking a lot of time. I'm sorry, but this is really close to my heart, y'all. I will be vulnerable and say I have approached youth ministry over the past year kind of half-heartedly because I've kind of been like, these are my girls. They need other people speaking into their lives, right? And so it's been one of those things that I'm like, am I really the person for this to lead them? Because they're my girls. They hear this all the time, right? And they're friends. And the Lord just really got a hold of me to say, no, this is something that you've always been passionate about, so do it. And so, dadgummit, we're doing it. We're doing it. And so, y'all pray for us as we try to reach out, but that doesn't get you off the hook. It doesn't get you off the hook. That means prayer. Bring a cereal box tonight if you want to. Drop it off. And just find out how you can support these teenagers, because they are amazing. They're going to change the world in the very best ways. I am so hopeful for this next generation, and I'm just glad that I get to know some of them. I feel lucky. So, okay, sorry. Speaking of investing our lives in things that matter, we're grateful for how you invest your life here and your time and your talents and your tithe. And so during this time that we gather, we always offer an opportunity for you to give financially to the church. We don't do that because we are all about money at all. We do it because we know that it changes us. I know that when I live a generous life, it changes me. And so we want to give you that opportunity. And you can give in the boxes in the lobby if you have physical money, but there's also some other ways that you can give, text, online, I think that's it, cyber currency, whatever that is. But let's take a moment and pray and ask God to just continue to bless our what we give him. Lord Jesus, everything we have is yours. And every good thing comes from you. And so, God, we just want to give ourselves back to you. Whatever that may look like, whether it's through our generous giving, whatever that may look like, whether it's through our time, Lord, we just give ourselves to you and we say yes to you. And we trust that whatever we give you, that you'll multiply. That just like the fish and the loaves of bread, that you will do something with the little that we are able to give you. That you'll be able to do something that feeds the world. Because that's where we want to give our time. We want to give our time to things that matter. And so we trust you with all that we do, with all that we give, because we know that you are trustworthy. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Hey. So good to see you. It really is. I got all my friends online that are like, church is canceled, we're going online. And I'm like, suckers. No, that's not what I'm like. You met Jason, you've met Jen, and you've met me. I'm Garen. We're all pastors. And Pastor Tim is not here today, but the four of us make up the team, but just wanted to be sure. I didn't know if you introduced yourself. So we are in a new series, New Year, New Series, and it's called Win the Day. And we're talking about things that you can do to stress less, accomplish more, and grow closer to God this coming year. And last week, if you recall, we talked about flipping the script. Oh. I need this. We talked about flipping the script. Do you remember? We talked in Numbers 11, and we talked about how that God delivered the people, the Hebrew people, from Egypt, but that it took them a long time to not be in a slavery mindset. It actually didn't take very long for God to get them out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of them. And how we are called to flip the script in our lives. Those things that tell us that we're not enough, those things that tell us that we're not lovable, that's not true, and we're called to flip the script. We serve and love a God who loves us completely, relentlessly, recklessly, lavishly, and so flip the script in your life and understand that you were loved. The other thing we talked about was, if you recall, you can't fix yesterday. And there's no sense worrying about tomorrow. Remember, this is kind of a Sermon on the Mount, Jesus kind of thing. But just as a reminder, we only have today. What story are you writing with your life today? Are you the subject of your story, or is God the subject and you are part of His story? You will only be fully fulfilled if you flip the script and become fully engaged in the story of God. Writing your own story will never work well, so flip the script. And today we're going to talk about something called kissing the wave. Don't you love it? Kiss the wave. Everybody say kiss the wave. Good. Here we go. So a lot of you will know, in general, the story of Joseph Merrick, but you might not know the whole story. So Joseph Merrick was born in England in 1862. He had 10 stubs for fingers. His head was roughly the size of a man's waist. His right arm was twice the size of his left arm. His mouth was so disformed that he was indistinguishable. Like, you couldn't understand what he was saying. And in the 19th century England, they had these things, they were human exhibitions. And so people would go to see these weird humans. And he was a headliner in one of those. Maybe you've heard of him. He was tagged as the half man, half elephant. Well, as it would happen, one day there was a surgeon that was passing by. His name was Frederick Treves, and he stumbled into this exhibition. And he said that this Joseph Merrick was one of the most disgusting, horrifying humans that he'd ever seen as far as physically. But he wasn't afraid, he wasn't scared, he wasn't drawn back. Instead, he tried to engage in conversation with Merrick. But unable to communicate well, he couldn't really carry on a conversation. So all he did was he gave Merrick a business card. I'm Dr. Treves. Here's where I work. Here's my card. It's that card that helped the police when they found Merrick in a train station alley. So they called this number because he was holding this card. And so Treves picked him up, took him to the London hospital where he lived the rest of his life. So he goes to the London hospital. It's not long before, you know, a nurse comes in to bring him some food. And this nurse was not prepped as to what she would be walking into when she walked into the room. So she opens the door, screams, drops the tray, and runs out. This is the life that was Joseph Merrick, the elephant man. But Dr. Treves decided, I'm going to try an experiment. So one day he had a nurse go in, look him in the eye, shake his hand, and just say, good morning. And Treves writes in his diary that he was shocked. Merrick broke down, began sobbing uncontrollably. He was huddled in a ball, just weeping. So finally, when he gains his composure, Treves is able to communicate, and he hears Merrick say that that was the first time that a woman had ever wished him a good morning. It was the first time that a woman had ever touched his hand. But it changed his life. From that day on, the trajectory of his life was different. He became a lover of scripture. He became a lover of the arts. Treves would sneak him into the opera after it had started, and they'd sit in a little back booth. And so he would enjoy the opera and music and all this kind of stuff. At his funeral, Treves spoke, and he said, "My friend Joseph Merrick constantly, daily, said this to me. He said, 'I'm happy every hour of the day.'" So the question is, how can someone who's been dealt that kind of hand be happy every hour of the day? How is it that some people just have this intrinsic joy or happiness that defies explanation? Well, I think it goes to our point of kissing the wave. Because, and I've said it in the past, we are not responsible for all the difficulties that we face. But we are response-able. We don't always choose what comes into our life, but we choose how we will respond. We're not responsible for everything, but we are response-able. How you respond is critical. So we need to learn to kiss the wave. So in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, there's this story. A lot of you people will know it. It's right after Jesus is talking about these mustard, this kingdom of God that's like a mustard seed, and it's right before he goes over and heals the demon-possessed man. But he says, "Hey, let's get in the boat. Let's go over across the sea." And this is what happens in Mark chapter 4. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. And Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Some of your translations will say, "Peace, be still." Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Church, this is the word of God for the people of God. Indeed. So when I was a children's pastor, and I almost did this, so you're welcome. You'll thank me in a second. I used to call up 6 to 8 volunteers, and we'd set them in chairs like they were in a boat, and then I would turn on a bunch of huge fans on them. And just the wind would be, I was afraid of what would happen to some of y'all's hair, let's be honest. But the wind would blow, and we'd talk about the winds that blow in our lives and the troubles that come, and they sweep in over us. And then, just because I was a kid's pastor and I thought it would be funny, I would have the helpers all of a sudden start squirting water at them. So you got this wind, you got this squirt, and they're all going crazy. The kids are going nuts. And I would talk about how sometimes life just feels impossible. When the wind and the rain and the waves are all coming against you. And then we would talk about, when Jesus is there, he can say, "Peace. Be still." And in those moments, that's when we feel calm and cared for and seen. It was awesome. It was messy, but it was awesome. I'm thankful that we serve a God who steps into the boats of our lives and calms the raging storms around us. So we used to sing a song. I am going to make you do this. So everybody has to stand up. So when I was in college, I traveled around in a singing group, and we would go to camps, and we would lead them in these songs, and we used to sing a song. So you're going to have to sing it with us. So, and there are emotions. So get ready, shake it out. We used to sing, "With Jesus in the boat." See, like I'm rowing. "Boat, you can smile in the storm, smile in the storm, smile in the storm. With Jesus in the boat, you can smile in the storm. As we sail along." Has anyone ever heard that?
Yes.
All right, good. Oh, no, I saw a couple people. So, you ready? Now you got it. Let's try it again. But we're going to do it a little faster. And I'm not even going to get into the sound effects that we would do when we drop out words. But let's try this. "With Jesus in the boat, you can smile in the storm, smile in the storm, smile in the storm. With Jesus in the boat, you can smile in the storm. As you sail along," a little faster. "With Jesus in the boat, you can smile in the storm, smile in the storm, smile in the storm. With Jesus in the boat, you can smile in the storm. As you sail along." This is where everyone over 50 is like, "My hip! What just happened?" Okay, good, good, good. You did it. You did it. Everybody give yourselves a hand. We've raised our heart rate a little bit. It's been a good morning. Now, that was goofy, but I want you to take a moment, just right now. You can keep your eyes open, you can close them, but I want you to reflect on a time when you sensed Jesus was with you in the storm. Because I'm telling you, this isn't just voodoo magic stuff. Jesus can be with you in the storm. We believe that. God's Spirit can be with you. This isn't some pie-in-the-sky thing. So I want you, there are some of you that have miraculous stories. Think of a time when Jesus was with you in the storm of your life and he brought peace. Times when you know that God stepped in and took control of the situation and did something that only God could do. Can I tell you one of the hardest parts with storms is simply acknowledging the storm? We live in a society that likes to boast of being self-made. We don't break under pressure. When life hands you lemons, exactly. Love the line in the Hoosiers movie, "Our hickory don't crack." Like, we don't even like acknowledging the storm. But if we don't acknowledge the storm, we're never going to get through the storm. Because the truth is, sometimes we cannot fix our own problems. And sometimes, at the end of the day, all you're left holding is lemons. So the first step is acknowledging that the storm is there. Before you can rebuke the storm, you have to accept the storm. You can't ignore it. You can't run from it. You can't minimize it. You can't deny it. That's one of our biggest hurdles, accepting that we are in the middle of a storm. Y'all, there have been times in my life when God has miraculously intervened, and I absolutely believe that God is able. He is more than able. We just sang about it. That is my song for the year. Sorry, you're going to probably hear it a lot. I believe that. But what do you do when you're in the middle of the storm and the storm doesn't stop? Because let's be real. There are times when it feels like the storm is going to break our spirit. Storms can be relentless. Just wave after wave, and you feel like you're just barely getting your head above water, and the next wave is right behind it. You cry out to God, "God, take me out of this," and sometimes God does, but a lot of times God doesn't. What do you do then? You don't know why God's not taking you out of it, but you realize that you're still in it. What do you do then? This is where kissing the wave comes into play. It's a phrase that was made famous about 180 years ago by a man named Charles Spurgeon. He was a pastor. Maybe you've heard of him. Maybe you haven't. That's okay. Let me tell you a little bit about him. In 1856, he was doing rather well. He was actually preaching at the London Surrey Garden Music Hall to 10,000 people. Sounds awesome, right? People are waiting, trying to get in. Then suddenly yelled from the crowd, "Fire!" And even though there wasn't a fire, pandemonium broke out. People started trying to exit the building. "There's a fire. We got to get out." People didn't realize what was going on the outside. They were trying to get into the service, so they're not letting the people out. The people can't get in. People can't get out. By the time it was all said and done, 7 people had died and 28 people were seriously injured. This shook Spurgeon to the core. He wrote once that it took him a while before he could even look at a Bible without crying. His passage was going to be Proverbs 3:33. He didn't even get a chance to preach it, and he never preached on that passage the rest of his life. It shook him. It's what catapulted him into a life of depression. He was so overtaken by this grief and this depression, he almost quit preaching. Even 25 years later, he was preaching at a Baptist convention, and something triggered him, and it said that he stood still for minutes, just panicked. How did Charles Spurgeon handle the wave? Well, he once said, I love this quote, "I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages." I've learned to kiss the wave. God, this wave is coming at me, but it's only going to drive me to you. I choose to go to the rock of ages. The truth is, while God is more than able, we're never promised that storms won't come in our life. We're just not. If you're looking for a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, this isn't the place, because we see Job. We see plenty of examples. I don't have to list them. Life is not always easy, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And while God often takes us out of the storm, more often God takes us through the storm. And God walks with us. And even though we still face the waves, we are facing the storm with God in our boat. And that makes all the difference. So we hold on to God. We acknowledge the storm. That's the first part of kissing the wave. The next part, acknowledge and feel the pain. We can't ignore the pain. We can't pretend that it's not there. That's not good for us. You know, you see the movies about, you know, like something happens and then it's like nobody ever talks about it again. That's not how you kiss the wave. Ignoring an issue doesn't eliminate the issue. It just puts you in denial and it puts you in a less appropriate place to be response able. I'm not saying that we should minimize. I'm not saying that we should act like it's not a big deal. And I'm not saying that we should overstress it. I'm saying that you should feel the pain. You have permission to feel the pain when you're in the storm. It's like your muscles, when you hurt your muscles and you go through rehab, you have to really focus on that, because if you don't, you will end up having a weakest spot where you have not rehabilitated. If you ignore the injury, that will become one of the most vulnerable parts of your body. But if you rehab, if you acknowledge it, if you accept it, if you feel the pain and you work through the pain, you can actually get healing. It doesn't mean that life will be like it was before, but it means that you can find healing. So we have to acknowledge the storm. We have to feel the pain. The third thing is, all y'all, I know, half of you just heard the Frozen song in your mind. You got to let it go. Did anybody hear the Frozen song in your mind? Oh, okay, all right. Maybe it's just I have two girls. All right. You got to let it go. Have you ever seen people that are just stuck in a moment? They just can't get over it. Hey, I just quoted a U2 song. Let me give you an example. Queen Victoria. You know who Queen Victoria is in England. She was pretty a big deal. Actually, they had an age after her, the Victorian age. She was kind of something. Until her granddaughter reigned for longer, she was the longest reigning monarch of England. She reigned for 64 years. 3 years after she was, she became queen, she met a guy by the name of Francis Albert Augustus Charles Emmanuel. And she fell in love with him and 5 days later proposed to him. They spent 21 years living life together, madly in love, until typhoid took his life. And Victoria never recovered. She never embraced the grief, so she could never let it go. She had his room in the castle turned into a shrine, and every day the butlers would bring in a fresh change of clothes. They would bring in a fresh basin of water so that he could have his shaving routine. They changed his bed linens every day, just as if he were still there, because she was never able to let go. I'm going to be honest with you, when we have pain in our lives, many times it feels like a piece of us dies. And to not acknowledge it and feel it will never allow us to completely move on and let it go. But there's a difference between having a part of you die and people who stop living. She wore black the rest of her life and became a recluse. She died in 1901, but actually she stopped living in 1861. 40 years of mourning because she was never able to acknowledge the storm, to feel the pain, and move on and let go of the pain. I read stories, or I see news articles. You know when something tragic happens to someone and then you see the trial and there are people that are loved ones of the victims and they're just angry and bitter and they want justice and it doesn't matter if the person is found guilty or innocent. It doesn't fix the hurt in them because they're not willing to deal with their grief. And then you see other people who have horrible things happen to their loved ones and they go on and say, I forgive that person. It's horrible. They should be held accountable. But I cannot carry around that grief and that anger and that resentment. I've got to let it go and give it to God so that I can continue living. How does that happen? One person refuses to kiss the wave, and the other person chooses to kiss the wave and throw themselves upon the mercy and grace and goodness of God. So, I've told you about the wave. Let me give you a couple suggestions, because you're like, okay, that's good, but what? Here's your practical applications. You ready? I'm going to give you a couple of things. I could have given you a dozen, but we're going to condense this. I'm going to give you three. You ready? The first one, when you are in a storm, talk to someone. You should never be in the boat alone. The truth is, if you are a follower of Christ, you aren't in the boat alone, but you should never isolate yourself. So talk to someone, whether it's professional, a pastor, a close friend that you trust, a confidant, find someone and talk to them. I have an accountability group. One of the pastors in the group has an MA in counseling, and don't you know, every time we get together for lunch, it feels like I'm laying down on a couch because I'm getting some counseling from him. We have this stigma that says that we are weak if we seek help. And let me tell you, that is just not true. Some of the healthiest things you can do is find someone to talk to about your problems. So whether it's a pastor or a therapist or a psychiatrist or a friend, or find someone. Hopefully they will help you remember that you're not in the boat alone. And if you don't know what to say, simply say this: hey, I'm in a storm right now. I've been praying that God would take me out of it, but for some reason, God is pushing me through it. Can we meet? I need to talk. I don't need answers necessarily. I just need to talk so that I can work through this and let it go. Talk to someone. Number two, confess to God. 2 weeks ago, we had our Wesleyan Covenant service, and you had some spiritual practices, and I listed out six. You know, whether it was prayer or accountability or confessing or corporate worship, or 21% of us said over the next year, we want to focus on confessing, on being more vulnerable and confessing to others. I confess to you that I do not confess as much as I should, and I also confess that I was one of those 21%. That's one of the ones that I checked on my form. Because confession is good for our soul. Confession leads to liberation. Confession leads to forgiveness. It leads to freedom and forgiveness. So talk with God. So most of us know who Martin Luther was. If you don't know who he was, you at least know the name. He was the one who nailed the thesis of 95 points, things that he was protesting. Out of that, you had the Protestant movement, which is like Anglican, Presbyterian, Baptist, Nazarene, Wesleyan, right? Yeah, a lot of them. It's where a lot of us come from. It said that Luther would spend up to 6 hours a day in confession. A pillar of sainthood. 6 hours a day. Let's be honest, how many of us spend 6 minutes a day in confession? And I wonder if it's because a lot of times we just go, God, forgive me for my sins. What sins? Be specific. Name them. What are you sorry for? Talk to God. Confess. I'm not just sorry for myself. I'm sorry that I did this. I'm sorry for this attitude. I'm sorry that this happened and how I responded. God, will you forgive me for this situation? Confess to God. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm always angry. What do you mean you're always angry? What does that come from? Where does that anger come from? Let's talk about that so that you can confess those other things that are dealing with this. Confess. Talk to God. You will find freedom and liberation like you have never felt when you will spend time confessing to God. And a lot of times it will involve confessing to others. But I encourage you, at least start with confessing to God. Third thing, embrace God's peace. If we truly believe that Jesus is in the boat and that he is more than able to calm the storms, then we can trust in his goodness, whether the storm subsides or not. You and I were talking yesterday. No, sorry, is it okay if I'll probably get it wrong, but Kyle and I were talking, and he was talking about how when he's meditating and he's finding that no, we won't do that. I don't know. I haven't asked your permission first. He's talking to, no, we're gone. I'm running out of time. So maybe we'll hit it next week when we're going to have Kyle up and we're going to be praying for him as he goes into surgery next week. So you want to be here to pray for him. Embrace God's peace. I think of the song, "There is peace in the midst of the storm. There's an anchor, there's a rock to build my faith upon." You know that one? Or, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other there's peace and hope to be found in those types of situations." Let me close with this. On Tuesdays, we have Celebrate Recovery, and I love that they do the Serenity Prayer. Most of you know this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. This is a good way to kiss the wave. What I got to be honest, I didn't know there was more to it. That's only the first part of the prayer. So here's what I'd love to have you do. I'd love to have you join with me, and let's pray this whole prayer together. So pray with me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Why do we not pray that whole prayer all the time? This is how we kiss the wave. We take each moment and we say, God, is there a lesson for me to learn? If there is, will you teach me? If there's not, will you take this from me? But regardless, will you continue to be with me? Which, spoilers, God has promised he will. God is with us and God is for us. So let's pray. Jesus, these are simple habits, and yet they're so difficult. It's easy to sit here in a sanctuary and say, yeah, kiss the wave, acknowledge and accept and feel the pain and then let it go. But we all know the truth. We come with baggage and we come with hurt and we come with pain, and some of these pains are systemic in our life. It's pain that has been happening for years and years and years. And God, it's hard for us to imagine the storm not being there. Jesus, first of all, I praise you because you are the one who speaks peace into our lives. You were speaking to the storms and the waves, but God, I also believe you were speaking to the disciples when you said, peace, be still. Which leads me to think of, be still and know that I am God. Which leads me to think of, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. So don't let your heart be troubled and don't let it be afraid. God, you have sent your Son to bring peace into our lives. Your Spirit lives within us to comfort and to counsel us. So Jesus, will you help us? Some of us are rowing really hard in the storm and we think we're getting somewhere, but all that's happening is we're taking in water. Will you help us to kiss the wave that drives us to your goodness and your grace and the rock that you are, God? Be strong in our lives, whether we have calm seas or rough waves. Be strong in our lives. We pray this in your name, Jesus. We pray this, Holy Spirit, in our lives right now. We pray this, Holy Father. Amen.
You talked about Joseph Merrick, and I turned to Manny and I said, the Elephant Man. I knew it because in high school, my friends and I wrote a musical about him and his friends on a boat. We really did. But that reminded me of, we also went to the State Fair of Oklahoma and saw a 6-foot man-eating chicken. Now, we don't have that, but I have a 6-foot-3 man serving bread. If you'll come up, Mike and Lisa. It's good to have friends that love to serve, and you too love to serve. You love people, and we all have our moments. they're going to serve you what we call the Eucharist, the communion, whatever you want to call it, as we love you too. And often they're like, well, this is for clergy, the priest to do. I truly believe in the priesthood of believers. God knows that there are a lot of lay people who are a lot better off than this clergyman in how they live in their hearts. And it is just great to be served by friends that you consider family. So let's pray together, and let's just enjoy our time together, and we will take the bread, the juice, as Jesus commanded. When you get together, do this and remember me. So let's remember him. Father, we love you. We love that you are there for us, that you do ease the pain, and that you teach us through it. We may not understand the reasons, but help us to heal. I'm thankful for a message that helps us realize these things so that we don't spend 40 years in pain, not experiencing the joy, the happiness that you want us to live in. And I thank you for those who serve, who show us love, and let us be gracious enough to accept their love and their service. We praise you, Father, and we thank you for these elements which really symbolize your love, your sacrifice for us. All this in your name we pray. Amen. I know we have some visitors, but I like to just say, follow the leader. You'll figure it out pretty quick, but you'll take a piece and dip it, and feel free to eat it then. And just remember what our Savior has done for us. Come forward, please.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
Oh, it's been good to be with you. Will you stand with me? We had dinner with someone the other night, and we were talking about how we've sung our benediction for, I think it's going on like 2.5 years. That's crazy. Sorry, I love it. I hope that y'all like it too. If you're visiting with us, just receive this. But for those of us that are regulars, let's sing out. We sing hallelujah, let your kingdom come in our hearts, in our homes. Let your will be done. And as we go in your name, we shout and we proclaim, let your will be done in us. Have a great week. Bring some cereal tonight.